with all the crime that we have here in our city and a lot of people scrambling, trying to find answers. And while we're scrambling for answers, the answer is found in Christ. I love to say this, and I preach it from our pulpit all the time, that we don't have a crime problem in our city or the nation or world. We have a sin problem. And until we get the proper diagnosis, which is a sin problem, you cannot bring the proper solution. So if we begin to change the nature of man, yeah, and they begin to know Jesus, you'll begin to change crime.
Welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. Tony Wade, pastor of Divine Life Church, came by the station this morning. We're actually taping the show. He came here to do this trade agreement where Bot Radio Network will give a church so many advertising spots to promote their ministry. Yes. In exchange, we just ask that you share our program guides in your church bulletin, maybe put a yes. little thing about Bot Radio in there. But, you know, it's just kind of a yes. partnership thing that we can Definitely. Work together to spread the word both ways. When Tony came in, he wasn't expecting this, but I said, hey, we got to get on the microphones because it's been a while. Yes. Pastor Tony Wade, how are you doing?
I am doing phenomenally, Byron. I really appreciate this impromptu, but I'm always full of the Spirit of God, so I'm ready.
I'm excited, you know, because there's some things that I've been wanting to catch up with you on about Divine Life Church, which yes. you've been pastor now. This church has been in existence.
12 years.
Has it been 12 years?
Last month in July was 12 years.
We were talking about a couple of the students who come through your ministry.
Yes.
Dominic Winfrey.
Yes.
She's been in Rome. She's a senior now in law school.
Senior in law school. We were talking the other day. It's exciting.
I mean, there was one time where there was no city school that would take her.
Yeah, she got kicked out of all the Memphis City schools because of her behavior. The alternative school was the last option, and she got kicked out and had to go down to Mississippi and go to school.
But there was a transformation that took place.
Oh, she began to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and her heart changed, her attitude changed. She began to find her purpose and her destiny, and now God is doing amazing things in her life.
Of course, Dion Byers
yes.
is another young man
yes,
who came through your ministry.
Yes.
He's married now.
He just got married a year ago. They're about to have their first child. He has a son on the way. He's our youth pastor, and he also works in our youth outreach ministry, Repairing the Breach. God has been doing amazing things in their lives.
As a pastor, when you invest in people's lives, when
yeah.
you take time for people,
yes,
because these are a couple of people that typically would fall through the cracks of a church.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
But there had to be an intentional
yeah.
outreach, an intentional concern, heart
yeah.
to heart, and you and Felicia built that relationship with these two. There's an example of two of many who are
oh,
seeing
yes.
lives transformed.
Oh, yeah. We have many that we can look at and see what God has done in their life. One of the philosophies and principles that I live off is what the word says. Every seed reproduces after its kind. And so that's really a discipleship model. And I think we should be reproducing what Christ has done in our lives, in the lives of others.
When you talk about the heart, Tony, in light of a lot of chaos in our nation right now,
yeah.
and I see these people who, you know, are standing up in the name of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And the thing I kept thinking about was Jesus wants his heart too.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
So no matter what side of racism you sit on,
yep.
God wants your
yeah.
heart. That's
yes,
he wants to transform
yeah.
because out of the heart are the issues of life.
Yes, exactly. You know, one of the things we did, Byron, a couple of weeks ago, well, this past Sunday, we were praying at 9 o'clock prayer before our 10 a.m. service. And one of the things I was praying is that people would have, especially the church, would have a kingdom mindset. And a lot of times I see people become born again believers, but they still side and relate more to their natural identity than their new identity in Christ as a kingdom citizen. And so when we think and operate out of our kingdom citizenship as opposed to our natural ethnicity, we then would live a different life the way God intended for us, and we'll have love for all people.
Yes.
And that we would walk in love, that we would reach out and understand that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's really the enemy that's operating through people that we're really dealing with, and so they need Jesus as well.
They do. Of course, in that kingdom community you're talking about, Scripture talks about there is no Jew, no Greek, no barbarian.
That's
right. There is one in Christ.
One in Christ, yes.
And something else that I was talking to a group of pastors recently, we don't have to agree on everything to be unified.
Not at all. You think about it. When you're married, you don't agree on everything.
That's exactly.
But the thing about it, you stay in unity with each other.
Yes.
And so as opposed to taking your side on what is important to you, you find what brings the common ground of unity. And so I know God has, over the years, put me in situations to expose my heart. I remember years ago I was playing basketball, and this is when I could jump and I could move really good. I'm about to be 49 in October, so this is about 20 years ago.
Your jumping days are behind you.
Oh, they way behind me, except on a trampoline.
Yeah.
And so God exposed my heart as a born-again believer. And I was playing basketball. I was on a fast break, getting ready to go dunk the ball, and a guy pushed me out of the air. But it wasn't just any guy. It was a white guy. So I jumped up, and I'm about to fight. A born-again believer that loves God, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but now I want to fight him. But then as I go sit on the sideline as the guy standing between this born-again believer, God begins to speak to my heart, say, go tell him you're sorry. I said, Lord, did you see what he did to me? But what God was showing me, you not only wanted to fight him because he pushed you out the air, there's some hidden in your heart of hidden racism. Go tell him you're sorry. So I went over to him. I said, please forgive me. He like, whatever. But God didn't say apologize if he responds the right way.
Yeah.
He was talking to me. So what he was really dealing with was my heart because it wasn't right. And I believe that whole situation was designed to expose my heart because I needed to have the heart of Christ.
We all need to have the heart of Christ.
Yes.
To be able to regulate how we go. And like you said, I mean, even this morning coming to work, I was in a hurry. Our car was in the shop, so I was having to get a ride from my wife.
Yeah.
I guess I said something real snappy, real quick.
Yeah.
Wasn't even really aware.
Exactly.
And then walked into to grab a chicken biscuit and get back in the car. She was real quiet, and I thought everything was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and sometimes we have, like you said, we have to really have a heart that's led by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Because we can still offend each other.
Yes, we can. You know, I was talking Wednesday night at our Bible study that a lot of times we have a crossless Christianity.
Say that again.
A crossless Christianity. God said through Paul that we're to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Christ. And so we got to die to our old fleshly nature in order that the attributes and the fruit of Holy Spirit can come forth through us. But the fruit of the flesh that is lined up in Galatians 5 talks about all these different things. And then we got the fruit of the Spirit within the same chapter of Galatians 5. And so if we don't have the cross that we crucify our flesh, we're going to see the fruit of our flesh begin to manifest like anger and bitterness and all of those different things as opposed to love.
Going back to what Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ.
Yes.
And I no longer live.
Ooh,
I no longer live.
Come on, that's one of my favorite scriptures.
The life I now live, I live by what? By faith.
Faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that's exactly what we got to do. We got to let the life of Christ be seen in and through us.
And it's so easy for us as believers, Pastor, to get caught up in the social media frenzies, the media frenzies that what they do. And we got to stay on track. You said we're about this kingdom work that Christ has called us to.
Yes, exactly. And I think a lot of times we miss it because even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. God called us to the highest office in the land from his kingdom, which is ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're God's representatives here in the earth. And God is pleading through us to tell all men to be reconciled to him. But how can we reconcile mankind if we acting like the world that we're trying to reach?
Oh, my. There's a word there. Okay, so you and Felicia now for the past 12 years have been leading the ministry of Divine Life Church. And we've talked about this in the past, but for those who might be joining us for the first time and hearing your story, what was that initial vision? Where were you prior to 12 years? Where were you in life, and why did you detect that God was leading you to start this church, this ministry?
Well, what happened, we had started Repairing the Breach Outreach Ministry in 2001, and so we were doing that ministry, ministering to hundreds of children a day, and over a couple of years, thousands of children that were touched by Repairing the Breach Outreach Ministry.
And before we go any further there, Explain what that is, repairing the breach.
Repairing the breach is a youth outreach ministry that God had given us a vision for to reach unchurched youth. And the purpose of it was to go and get them to know Jesus and begin to build in them spiritually, physically, and to intellectually to produce leaders that would be productive for Christ.
And if I'm understanding right too, Tony, when this started, this wasn't like, here's my church, you come here, youth, and we'll tell you about Jesus.
No.
I mean, you were going into the streets.
Oh,
you
yes.
were going into the community centers. You were
yes.
going where these youth were.
Wherever young people were, that's where we were going to be found. And so we were going to build relationships and it was really more relational evangelism, winning the right to be heard by them as opposed to just coming in and forcing Christ on them. We would spend time with them. We would be patient with them. We'd walk them through different situations and circumstances that they dealt with. And we would go into the schools and build relationships there, hang out with them on lunchtime, go into classrooms, helping teachers invest in the lives of the children. So we wanted to be an asset to the school as well. And so we began to build over a period of time. And so I had one parent come to me because her children would come home and teach her the word of God that they would learn at Repairing the Breach. And so she was like, what are you going to do for us? I'm like, there are many churches in this neighborhood. You can even come to my church, because I was attending a church in the community at that time. I wasn't pastor, but I was a member and an assistant pastor at the church. So she like, no, we want something because my children are teaching me. What are you going to do for us? I'm like, we minister to you. And so after that, Byron, God began to deal with my heart that he wanted us to start a church. I'm like, God, I never wanted to pastor a church. Honestly, Byron, the reason I never wanted to be a pastor, because people naturally are rebellious. And so I like to see fruit. I want to see that when I do something that is going to be productive. And so being an assistant pastor, seeing what my pastor would deal with the sheep and the flock, I'm like, I don't want any parts of that.
Yeah.
I would rather work with young people because I know what I'm getting and I get to cultivate and develop the fruit of Christ in their life. God, he interrupted all of that because it's not my will, it's his will being done. And so we started as Alcee Ball Community Church was the name of the church. And I remember in 2012, God spoke to my heart that he said, that name cannot go where I'm taking you. So I needed to change to Divine Life Church. And that's where we are this day.
And Divine Life really speaks of something that without a changed life,
yeah.
you can't experience a divine life.
It's impossible to produce the divine nature of God. And that's really what divine life is producing the divine nature, God's nature, not our own nature,
yes.
not our old sin nature, the divine nature.
Wait a minute, now. You said something about a sin. Now, what is a sin nature? Because that's something we don't hear much about, or everybody says, well, yeah, I sin, but so.
Yeah, well, that sin nature, we inherited from our great forefather, Adam, when he disobeyed God, and he went from being alive in Christ to dying, and then he took on the nature of death that came about when he disobeyed God. And so we have that nature until we get born again. And so that's why God said we must be born again, because we have the old nature that comes from Satan. And now God puts his seed in us and we take on the divine nature. And then so as we get that divine nature, we then learn to renew our mind and learn to crucify the fleshly nature that tries to operate through that old man in us.
And that's what's so exciting to Pastor Tony, when we see life changed, when we see people from darkness into light,
yes.
and we see lives like Dion, we see lives like Dominique, there's hope.
Yes.
Through Jesus, there's
total. That is
total
the only hope. One of the things I like to say, Byron, I know with all the crime that we have here in our city and a lot of people scrambling, trying to find answers. And while we're scrambling for answers, the answer is found in Christ. I love to say this, and I preach it from our pulpit all the time, that we don't have a crime problem in our city or the nation or world. We have a sin problem. And until we get the proper diagnosis, which is a sin problem, you cannot bring the proper solution. So if we begin to change the nature of man
yeah.
and they begin to know Jesus, you'll begin to change crime.
That's just part of man's nature, even when it comes to the issue of sin. He's always trying to cover it up.
Yes, and that's exact from the beginning.
From the beginning. We're always trying to cover or to ignore or to say
yes.
we don't have an issue. And yet we are at a place where we are today.
Yeah. We're not going to police our way out of it. We're not going to get new politicians and get our way out of it. It's going to take the blood-bought Church of Jesus Christ rising up, operating in our true authority, and do what he mandated us to take the gospel to all the world, to every creature, and preach it to them so they can be made disciples of Christ and observe all things that he's commanded us. Then we begin to see change in our world.
Of course, over 12 years, you have seen, I'm sure, a steady and constant change in lives. Tell us about where the ministry is today.
Well, we moved to our new location at 5270 Riverdale, which used to be an old Snooks grocery store. We've been in there 6 months now, and God has just been doing amazing things.
You mean you've got a grocery store now?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good size.
It is. We went from a 7,200 square foot building to a 68,000 square foot building. And so we're still trying to wrap our mind around. I like to say it's like everything is on steroids now. I'm like, and it seems like everything costs $50,000. Pastor, we need some more tissue. Oh, that'll be $50,000. But God really strategically placed us in that place because everything about it was supernatural. It wasn't something that we could even afford at the time, but God, he provided because he led us to do it. And we've been seeing the lives of all type of people being changed. Just at the altar this past Sunday was so amazing to me as I was given an altar call. And I had one young lady come and she had been violated by someone physically in her body. And she just crying out to God and like, I need help. And how God touched her at that altar. And then one young lady came to me and was like, hey, I just left my girlfriend of 5 years. She was in a lesbian relationship. I don't want to live like that anymore. I really want to serve the Lord. It's just so humbling to see how Holy Spirit gently woo people to himself and see him begin to work in their lives and begin to create change and conform them to the image of Christ. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm just honored to be a part of what God is doing.
I think another thing that's really key to your ministry, Pastor Tony, is the fact that you have invested in these lives who are now giving back into this ministry.
Definitely.
You know? So you're actually raising up a future generation of leadership.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, in Repairing the Breach, a majority of our co-workers that work in Repairing the Breach are former students that came up through it. And so that's what our slogan is. We're building a foundation for many generations. And our new executive director that we're grooming to take over it, he came through Repairing the Breach. And then Dion is going to be the successor of Divine Life Church. So he's the youth pastor now, but he's being groomed to be the pastor of Divine Life Church. So when our succession plan is for him to take over Divine Life Church, and the succession plan for Repairing the Breach is for Kimion Green, who was one of the Divine Life students, to be the executive director of Repairing the Breach.
We've got to invest in the generation today because they are going to be the leaders tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. And so we have to train them and equip them and making sure that they take on the character and the nature of Christ and lead it into the future. And because I know anything that God starts, it never should die with one individual. So even Jesus himself, we see that when Christ died, he came back to the earth for 40 more days. And I always ask people, why did he come back 40 more days? Because remember, his disciples, they had scattered. So he had to make sure that they carried the message that he had done. If not, he would have died in vain. We wouldn't be believers today if Jesus didn't come back for those 40 days that he spent on the earth to get them to take the message that it even have come down to us.
Well, you mentioned a moment ago about going into schools, and that was really foundational for building those relationships. That's still a big part of what Repairing the Breach does through the Ministry of Divine Life. Was it Hamilton High School?
Hamilton High School, Hamilton Middle School, Hamilton Elementary. It used to be Corey Middle School, but now it's Kip. So we go into that, ALSI, Veritas now, and Memphis College Prep. I mean, we're in many different schools. We even had one principal that we worked with before. He asked us to come to his new school. And so we're going to expand out there because he realized in our partnership what it did and the impact that it has had in the lives of people.
So when you talk about going into the schools, are we talking about after-school tutoring? What exactly are we talking about?
Well, what we focus on is holistically, building upon them knowing Jesus as the Lord and Savior. From that point, we build upon Jesus, and then we begin to help them academically. Then we deal with them socially, and then we begin to build leadership in them. So we want to minister to them holistically. One testimony that is a testament to us doing that was at one school, they had a graduation. The night of the graduation, a young lady died in a car accident right after her graduation. But we had the assurance and the assurance for our family when we went and talked to her, the family, and helped them provide the funeral arrangements that, hey, this young lady gave her life to Christ a couple of weeks ago. And so that's the importance of the gospel being shared, because the reality is people are going to die without a Savior.
Yes.
And they're going to spend eternity away from God.
How does the Wade home keep up? Your wife, Felicia's got to be amazing, which I know she's been here. And I know she is. How do you function as a family through all this?
Well, what we do is, I remember many years ago, Byron, I had gone to a DeVos initiative. I was in a DeVos initiative, and I was in this class, and they talked about balance. And so I realized I was out of balance. And so when my girls were younger, I have two daughters, and the oldest, we have two daughters. The oldest, Tanisha, is 25, and our baby, Soteria, is 20, getting ready to be 21. They're both getting ready to be 25 and 21 in October. And so I was out of balance. So what we did, we started having family night and then making sure my wife and I continue dating, because we do ministry together. And so there's always a demand on us, our time, our giftings, what God has placed in us. So what we did, we began to balance our lives. And that was the thing that really preserved us doing ministry. And then we made a commitment that we live for one thing, that we will hear Jesus tell us, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And so because we're both walking in agreement with what our focus and our goal is, that we know that our whole life is committed to fulfilling the mandate that God placed upon our life.
You know, Pastor, that is so, so critical that couples are on mission together.
Definitely.
And there might be some variations that each might have a different form of that, but foundationally,
yes,
being on the same page,
yes,
is so key to keeping a strong and healthy home.
Because if not, I've seen a lot of people where some got a call of God upon their life, and then the spouse don't understand that call, and they working in tug of war against it, and it makes it really difficult to fulfill the mandate of heaven. Well, I thank God that my wonderful wife, which next month we're getting ready to celebrate 25 years of marriage with Felicia, and so that she is as sold out as I am to what God has called us to do. And I mean, she's a woman of prayer. She knows how to hear the voice of God. She obeys what he says. And so anytime we know God is leading us to do something, it's an instant obedience, and we're running to get it done with no hesitation.
Don't have a whole lot of time, but I want us to share a little bit of the story you were telling me before you went on the air, something that happened through the ministry recently. Media attention.
Yes.
Can you share that a little bit?
Yes. We wanted to reach out. We have a goal this year to reach 100,000 people for Christ. And so to reach 100,000 people, you got to equip and train a lot of people, and you got to partner with a lot of people. Well, we had an idea that we wanted to reach the masses. And so we said we're going to do a bill pay Sunday, where we're going to pay something towards people's bills. Well, of course, someone put out that this is a scam. And so the media got a hold to it, and they got to calling me and wanting to interview us. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? We just want to fulfill the mandate of Christ as being a good fisherman.
Yeah.
Well, this is good bait, because it's drawing attention. And so we don't care, because we like to say in our church, how much does a soul cost? So the people showed up. We had 1,500 people show up for that day. And end up, 885 people gave their life to Christ at the altar in our church that Sunday over us paying towards somebody's bill.
Well, you go back to that point you said earlier, Pastor Tony, they don't care how much you know or what you have to say.
Yes.
And do they know how much you really care?
Exactly.
That's why sometimes we get calls if we talk about certain issues of social justice.
Yeah.
But I really see the gospel hand in hand.
Yes.
And should be foundational.
Yes.
For all of these issues that we address. Poverty, everything is motivated by the love of Christ.
Yes, it is.
And so we shouldn't have to apologize for that.
No. What I think has happened, so many believers are operating in fear because the world puts so much pressure on us to silence us. And I believe that comes from the kingdom of darkness, because God said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And so we're living in an hour that so many believers are afraid to take a stand, to draw a line in the sand for Christ. And we think it's not being loving if we are bold in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Tony Wade, thank you so much for sharing with us today on a spur of the moment. I knew we had to get together.
Amen.
We got to get you to come back and bring Felicia with you.
Definitely.
Definitely want to get Dominique back here. She's a senior in law school now.
Yes, Memphis Law.
And she's about to write a book.
Yes, she's written her book. She says she's waiting on the timing to release it. So maybe you can interview her concerning it.
Definitely.
Felicia has released her second book.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's a lot of great things that are happening.
Now, have you written any books?
No, I am working on some. I'm more of a communicator of books. And so I have to have ghostwriters.
There you go. Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, if folks want information about Divine Life Church, service times, fellowship there, there's a website.
Yes, divinelifememphis.org.
We're going to say goodbye. Thank you, Tony Wade.
Thank you, Byron. I appreciate it.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.